Father, as we continue to worship you now and open up your word, may this glorious ancient truth of yours come to us afresh this morning. And may it be so life transforming that we won't even know what hit us because of the work of your Holy Spirit in our midst. We ask that you would come do above and beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. Come breakthrough. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this summer, if you've been with us, we have been looking at various spiritual disciplines that we find throughout the scriptures, these spiritual disciplines that help us learn how, as followers of Jesus, to reorder our lives around the life and work of Jesus Christ. We finished that last week, and what we're going to do this morning is, in a sense, what we've been doing this summer is looking at kind of a ground-level view of walking with the Lord. We're going to pull it up to about a 30,000-foot view and look at the big picture, the greater story, right? And see, what is God up to in this greater story that he's called us and invited us into? And what is our role? And you may ask, okay, do I have a role, right? But we do, and we're going to look at that this morning. I want to remind you of the big picture, and this is it. Jesus is the redeemer and the restorer of all things. Now, I got a couple of nods. Now, if we really believe that's true, it's going to hit us here, right? Because if we really understand this greater story that Jesus is the redeemer and restorer of all things, all of a sudden we're going to begin to go, yeah, and I know what you've been doing in my life. You are the redeemer. You have redeemed me. You are restoring me. This incredible work, what he's doing. You see, I want to remind you that Jesus came to make whole again that which has been broken and destroyed by the fall. And so we get to live this side of heaven, not perfectly in that, but we are awaiting that. But we get a glorious foretaste of this glorious work of Jesus redeeming and restoring the broken places of our lives, the broken places of our world, the broken places of your neighbors, your co-workers, your family members. He came to redeem and to restore those things. Now, I wanted to remind us of that. For some of you, it might be like, oh, yes, I know that. But friends, we so often forget, don't we? And when we forget, let me tell you what happens. When we forget that grand story, this grand narrative that the Lord has called us into, what we do is we whittle life down to this little space of me, right? And we wonder, where's the joy? Where's the vision? Where's the purpose, right? When we whittle life down to my own little world of me, friends, we begin to get restless and we begin to look elsewhere for something greater, right? And I want you to hear this morning that something greater is found in this glorious story that Jesus came as the redeemer and the restorer of all things. See, God's not just doing a work in your life. I want you to begin to get a bigger picture. God is doing a work in the lives of the people around you as well. He knows them. He knows their stories, right? And he's longing that they come to experience the fullness and the richness of his love. And what's so amazing about this story is that Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, this is after the resurrection, before he ascended to heaven, what he did is he gave his followers at that time an incredible call, an incredible vision for their lives, an incredible mission. And friends, I want you to know today that mission has not changed. What he said to them is the same call that he has for all who follow him today. And do you know what that is? It's go and make disciples. It's an incredible call to go and make disciples. But the reality is we don't really understand what that fully means. And I want to touch on it some this morning. We're going to look at it much more this fall. But I want to remind you what a disciple is. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is someone who's following somebody else. Maybe you could think of it as an apprentice, someone who's coming along, something that someone else is doing. And when Jesus calls his followers, his disciples, what he's saying is, you're following me, right? And that's what we've been looking at this summer. What does it look like to so follow Jesus that we're actually reordering our lives around him? Because a follower of Jesus is not somebody who just says it with their words, right? A true follower of Jesus is someone who not only proclaims it, but actually lives it. And their lives become reordered more and more around the life of Jesus. But you see, that's not where it stops. Because Jesus said to his followers, these disciples, go and do what? And make disciples. What it means to make a disciple is that there are people around us that we do life with, where we live, work, and play, and our vocation, in our neighborhood, in our family, where we do our recreational activities, that the Lord is longing that we see and get to know so that we can invite them into this grand story of Jesus being the Redeemer and Restorer of all things, that they, as they come into this, would begin to experience his redeeming and restoring work in their lives. Does that make sense? That's like big picture what that looks like to be a disciple who is making disciples, fulfilling that those words of Jesus, go and make disciples. Friends, I got to tell you the great tragedy. In all of this, here's the great tragedy, that so many people in the church today are living their lives day after day with no grand vision, with no great mission to give themselves to, right? And when we don't have a grand mission, we don't have something to give ourselves to, we go look for all kinds of things over here to satisfy this desire that's a God-given desire for his people. And not only do we live with a very small vision, I think a lot in the church today, and you've heard me say this before, live segmented lives. And living a segmented life is we have Jesus on Sunday in our worship, right? And on those in-between days, we may spend a little bit of time in his word reading here or reading there, a little prayer here. But by and large, after that little quiet time, as our Christian lingo can often use say it, you know, once that kind of, what do? We step out of that and we enter into our place of work. Or we go play basketball with our buddies on the league. Or we go play baseball, right? Or we're involved in this in the community. And it's like we're living in those spaces, but Jesus is not there with us. And so many people in the church are living like that today. I wonder if that's true for you. That you don't really see how Jesus intersects every part of your life, the totality of your life, right? That's, friends, what this greater story, this greater mission is that the Lord is calling us into, that we would see that Jesus absolutely intersects everything that you and I do. You know why? Because he is the Redeemer and the Restorer of all things. And what he's done is he's chosen to use his followers to be the agents through which his message goes out. The message of his redeeming love, the message of his restoring grace to the community and to the world around us. Do you see that? That's the call, and that's a picture of this incredible mission that he's calling us into. And so this morning, I want to unpack for just a few minutes the verses that were read in Acts chapter 16. And friends, this is going to be real simple this morning. I've just got one point. And some of you are going to go, yes, just one point. I can get this morning. But I want it to be crystal clear on what's happening here, one of the things happening in this passage that we're going to draw. And here's the point that I want to make through this passage in Acts chapter 16. If we are going to be people who truly follow Jesus and live on mission, his mission, not somebody else's or not some other mission, if we're going to truly live on his mission, then friends, I believe that you and I need to develop ears to hear the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. Does that make sense? How are we going to know how to live into this mission? How are we going to know in those spaces from day to day what God is up to? If I really believe that God is at work, how am I going to know what it looks like to fully enter into those if I don't have ears to hear where the Holy Spirit's moving, what the Holy Spirit is doing? So I want to reread this passage in Acts. It's a short passage. If you can put it, oh, there it is. Okay, I'm going to reread that. And I want you to hear how Paul and Silas and his band of brothers, as they were on this missionary journey, I want you to see how they had ears to hear the moving of the Holy Spirit when they were wanting to go this way or that way, okay? Let me read it again. You can follow along. So as they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, did you hear? Did you follow along how they had ears to hear as they were going? Now, it's very interesting. If you look at the map in your Bible, as many of them have in the back of the Bible, and you chart this missionary journey of Paul and Silas and the others, what you find is that they go through the region of Asia, a very important and influential part of that part of the world. But what happened? The Holy Spirit told them not to speak, told them not to proclaim the gospel there. And in a sense, it kind of doesn't make sense, but yet they had ears to hear. They were listening. We don't know why. And we're not going to get into that, but the point I want you to hear from this text is that they had such an ear, step by step, daily, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide in the direct and direct them wherever they were going. The challenge for us this morning is this: to ask yourself, for me to ask me, do I have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is doing in my midst? And maybe it's the first, maybe you got to back up and say, do I believe God is at work in the lives of the people around me, where I live, where I work, where I play? Do I really believe that God is alive, restoring and redeeming and bringing things aright that were once a mess, right? Because I want you to just think about this for a second. Think about your own life. Think about the restoring work of Jesus in your own life. If he's doing that in you, and for some it may be these little baby steps, right? And that's often how it is in these ordinary moments of life. God is at work in here. Why would we not think that God is at work all around us? If he's doing this here, friends, he longs to do it in the relationships that you have all around you. And that, if you begin to understand that, that will call you in to a much greater vision and mission for your life. Right? So I want you to think about these men. What we see in the passage is that daily they were submitting themselves to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Well, this wasn't something that they just conjured up on their own. They learned it from the Lord himself. Jesus himself modeled this. He lived this out in his own life. Now, I want to just step back for a second from this and just make a connection to something that we looked at last week. Last week, we looked at the importance of the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude with the Lord, right? And we saw Jesus' life modeled that. Friends, as we seek to reorder our lives around the life and ministry and work of Jesus, we begin to do the things that Jesus did. That's what Paul was doing. That's what Silas was doing. That's what these band of brothers on this journey were doing together. And they learned it from the Lord. And here's what we see. This is the words of Jesus in John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. We read, Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." What did you hear Jesus say? One thing he said was he knew the Father was with him. How do you know the Father was with him? because Jesus pulled away and had intimate moments of prayer and dialogue with his heavenly Father. How did Jesus know what the Father was about? How did he know the plan that the Father had unfolded for him? Can I tell you how he knew? He spent time with his Father. He spent time in silence and solitude with his Father. How did Paul and Silas and the others know where to go? And when they turned here, nope, don't go there, you're going to go over here. How did they know? They were spending time with the Lord, right? Just as the Father was with the Savior, so the Holy Spirit is with those who follow Jesus. And what you and I have got to know, as his followers of Jesus, we are so filled with the Holy Spirit. And part of this work the Holy Spirit is doing is he is guiding and leading us step by step along the journey of our lives. You see, friends, if it's true of Jesus that he only knew what the Father was doing as he spent time with the Father, then the same thing rings true of you and me. We know what the mission is, what he's called you to, what he's called you to. As we develop ears to hear the Holy Spirit guiding and leading us step by step. Let me share a passage with you. I love this verse. When I think about one of the works of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of different ministries of the Holy Spirit, but this one in particular speaks exactly to what we're looking at this morning. This is in John chapter 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, this is Jesus speaking, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, there's a lot there that can be unpacked, but I want you to see, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will do what? He will guide you. You want to know what it looks like to live out this mission of Jesus and being an instrument, an agent through which Jesus is pouring out his restoring and redeeming grace to the people in your world, right? Where you work, where you live, where you go have fun. It's developing an ear to the Holy Spirit who will guide us in those times. How do we know where to go? How do we know what to speak? How did Paul know? How did Silas know? How did the others know? They spent time with the Lord. They spent time developing an ear of the work of the Holy Spirit. So let me get real practical for a minute. What does this look like, right? How do I do this? Well, it's really not hard, because if we truly believe that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to guide us into all truth, the truth comes right here from God's Word. This is the foundational message of truth that guides and directs everything that as followers of Jesus that we seek to do. And so first, the Holy Spirit takes this word and he helps us understand it, right? He helps us make sense of what God is showing us through his word. But the Holy Spirit also speaks in other ways as well. Sometimes, and we see it here, the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul in a vision, right? This man from Macedonia saying, come over here. Well, I love how Paul responded to this, because he got this vision, and this is easy to miss, but I don't want you to miss it. Look at verse 10, if you can pull it up again. Here's what we read. When Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. One of the things I love that Luke shows us in this, in the book of Acts, in this section, is he says, immediately we. Paul had the vision, but he shared it with those who were traveling with him. And together they were able to discern, is this of the Lord? Is this what the Lord wants, right? This is part of learning how to hear from the Lord, right? When he shows us things that we may not fully understand, we bring other followers or friends or who are followers of Jesus along and say, hey, help me discern this. Help me make sense of this. Is this of the Lord or is it not? And in that passage, they submitted themselves to one another, and they sought the Lord, and he confirmed to them that's what was going on. And so what we see is the importance of beginning to develop an ear that how the Holy Spirit shows us things periodically. Now, let me ask you this. What would it be like if you entered into each day with an anticipation that God was truly at work around you in the lives of people around you? How do you think that would change the way you entered into the day? How do you think that would change the way you did the work, whatever was put before you in that day, whatever it is? It's different for all of us in this room. If you really came at it believing that God is at work, right? And so I think one of the ways that we begin to develop an ear for the moving of the Holy Spirit in our midst is this, is that we say, come Holy Spirit, come show me where you're working, right? And I can guarantee you he will. Here's something that I've begun to do probably in the past, I don't know, 6-8 months. Before I get out of bed in the morning, I lay there, and I kind of get up a while, and I'm laying in bed a while, and I'll lay there, and I'll think about my day, and I kind of go over every part of my day, and I lay it before the Lord, and I say, Lord, I submit all of this to you, and I think of all the people that I know I'm going to be meeting with, the administrative stuff that I know is before me, the other stuff that I don't know is going to come before me, and I say, come Holy Spirit, give me eyes to see where you're working, ears to hear what you're doing, and show me and lead me. Right? It's almost as, it's as simple as that. And so as I go in there and as I meet with someone, I come with an anticipation, believing, trusting that God is at work. Now, I don't walk away and I go, wow, that was the Holy Spirit, or that was the Holy Spirit there. That's not how it goes. Just in the ordinary moments of the day, there's a greater awareness that God is at work. And I can tell you, time after time after time, he will put someone on my heart to call. And when I do, they're like, I can't believe you called me. Well, how did I know to call them? The Holy Spirit did a prompting in me, a sensing of pursuing that person, right? Or I'm having a conversation with someone, I'm like, I don't know what to say. Have you ever had those? And I just do a quick prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? And there have been times that I walk away and I go, oh, how'd that really go? But there are other times that I'm like, Lord, you gave me those words to say. I don't know where that came from, aside from the fact that you are moving in that moment. Does that make sense? Does that help give you a picture of what it looks like to begin to develop an ear for the work of the Holy Spirit, asking him for wisdom, asking him for guidance, asking him for direction? In the ordinary places, in those difficult places that you don't know what to do, the Spirit is alive and present and longs to guide us step by step. That's a picture of what that looks like, I think, individually with us. Now, let me share with you a vision, a picture of how I have seen the Holy Spirit working in our midst at large at St. Andrew's over the last year plus. We often pray, leadership team, staff, often pray, Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear where you are working around us, and help us join into that work. Well, let me share with you something the Lord has been doing. So many of you know John Schuller, and he's here this morning. And you've heard us talk probably a little bit about this whole new nonprofit 501c3 that has begun here in Little Rock called Anglican Associates. What Anglican Associates is, it's a church planting residency for men to come to Little Rock for a season, a number of weeks in the fall, a number of weeks in the spring, and to receive training to go back out where they're from or wherever God leads them to plant a church, God's kingdom growing. Do you see this picture of living on mission, disciples making disciples? And so this weekend, we're going to have them come up in a minute, this residency kicks off this weekend. The first four residents are here with their wives, and it's been an exciting weekend for them to begin this new journey. And at St. Andrew's, we get to be a part of this and walk alongside and pray for these men and their families as they begin to do this work. And what I hope you see is it's a call for us to enter into more fully what it looks like to be disciples making disciples. Now, if you would, your bulletin, open it up. There's an insert in there. And it's got a picture and a brief bio of the four men and their families. And there's one in particular I want you to see because you're going to know him well, Ryan Owsley. About in January, Ryan came to me and he said, "Robert, Kristen and I have been praying and we really sense the Lord stirring in us and calling us to be church planters. Is that not exciting?" And so as we've talked and we discerned with the leadership team, we've realized, you know, in St. Andrews, we want to be a church planting church. It was part of who we began to be. And to say, "God, what are you doing in this?" And so as we've prayed and discerned, we sense the Lord leading in the next couple of years, Ryan and Kristen planting another church here in the Little Rock area. We don't know where, but planning another new work where disciples are going to be making disciples. We would have missed this work, friends, had we not had ears to hear the Holy Spirit moving in our midst, right? Ryan and Kristen would have missed it had they not had ears and a sensitivity to God. What are you doing? What are you stirring in us? What are you doing in this community, right? That, friends, is a picture of what it looks like to have ears to hear the moving of the Holy Spirit.